It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step two, to step two, step two, step two, step two, step two.
I was hoping for a boy band entrance. Maybe we can close it out with some bye bye bye.
Oh yeah. Oh, there we go. You got it. It literally just came to me as you were calling. I was like, I'm gonna sing this song.
That was a good jam. How we doing?
Do you hear me clearly?
Yeah. Do you hear me clearly?
Yeah, no, I'm just making sure because I'm coming to you live from my guest bedroom because my daughter is sleeping in my bed tonight, and so I don't want to wake her up, so I'm as far away from the kids as possible. And last time I was in here, you couldn't hear me, but I think that was because you were trying to...
I was trying to double dip. I was trying to watch some basketball and do a podcast, and it doesn't work out too well.
Yeah.
So I learned from my mistakes, but it's good. It's good that your Wi-Fi is working well in your manor. That's nice.
Yeah. Ian is sleeping in his bed right now. It's a win. Good news.
Oh, no. He didn't cuddle up with the door tonight?
No, I mean, he tried to, and then he was just screaming for like 20 minutes straight. So I went in there and calmed him down and cuddled him and put him into bed, and he stayed there. So
nice.
Maybe it's the new yellow shirt.
Everything's just a phase. Hopefully this one... Doesn't seem like you're too bothered by it, but I, like others, enjoy the nightly photos of him laying down by the door.
I mean, it's just hilarious. Like, what kid falls asleep by the door for like a week straight? Like, who does that?
I don't know. Probably more with kids than you think.
Yeah. Well, you see the picture of the broken hanger that he did?
Yeah, he just snapped it. Was he angry or was he just playing with it?
I have no idea. Him and Navia were in the closet before school started. I just hear a bunch of laughing. And I walk in and I see a broken hanger. And I said, Navi, what happened? She goes, Gaba broke it. His name is Gaba. We call him Gaba. We rarely ever call him Nyan. So, and I'm like, how did he break it? She's like, oh. I'm like, no one's in trouble. Like, I'm not mad. Like I said, I'm not mad. I'm impressed. Like, how did this happen? I can't break a plastic hanger. They were just pulling on it and he broke it, I guess. I have no idea.
I think Cooper might have done that once, but it wasn't that it was a different type. It was like the easier, fragiler, more version of it. It wasn't that plastic modern version of it.
But, yeah,
I mean, they're just exploring how things move and snap back to reality.
I guess so.
Whoops, there goes gravity.
Dang. Mom's spaghetti.
We're a bunch of losers, but yeah, we're it's been 3 months. I noticed when I set up this call that it was 3 months ago. It was the last time we did one. It's kind of hard to get people to listen to football talk in the middle of a opening week baseball.
I mean, people will put it on at some point. I mean,
I know they're basically just tuning in to listen to me and you catch up.
Yeah. Our loyal listeners will listen. Other people will come for the nonsense, skip over the football talk. So,
yeah, who knows? Maybe we might not get there for a few minutes, and then people won't even last that long.
I don't know.
What's new? What's new in Texas?
Oh, that's new in Texas.
What are the ICUs really looking like these days?
They're pretty empty.
That's good.
It's not too bad. You know, just the standard, regular stuff that are killing people, not the COVID. So
back to reality.
Exactly.
Awesome.
What's new with you?
Not much. We just booked our flights to Portugal for the summer. That's an exciting milestone for us because we've been pushing it back with everything that's going on. We wanted to wait with COVID, we wanted to wait with whatever war was going on over there, and we finally like we gotta book these tickets. So 2 weeks in Portugal.
Plockins. 2 weeks, nice.
Yeah, with the in-laws.
Oh, even should, better. Where in Portugal are you going?
We're gonna do 5 nights in Lisbon, and then about a week, I think six nights in the Algarve, which is like the southern coast.
Oh, I'm very familiar with the Algarve. I love, love the Algarve. So keep going and I'll tell you the story after that.
Yeah, and then we're going to stop on the way back in the Azores, the islands in the Atlantic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, let's hear your story.
So, my grandparents used to own a condo in the Algarve. They bought it in the 70s, and they had it all the way through, I think, the 90s. So, they used to go there often for, like, 6 months out of the year sometimes.
Oh, in the winters?
Yeah.
That's awesome, because it's supposed to be beautiful there all year long.
Oh, yeah. And then I went there as a young kid a couple times when they still had their condo. And actually, I was in Portugal, not recent anymore because it was 10 years ago, but I actually went there just with my grandma, my intern year of residency. And we stayed in the Algarve and specifically a town called Albufeira, because that's where they had their condo.
Yeah, that's we're staying a little bit, not in there, but like north of it, but it's like 10 minutes from there. Where they were staying. Wow, that's supposed to be one of the nicer areas.
Yeah, so they, I mean, you'll see it now. It's, you know, built up in the sense that, like, you know, there's buildings everywhere. But when they bought their condo, it was mostly farmland there. It was nothing. And now the Algarve is like a destination for Europeans for, like, vacation stuff. So it's beautiful. Portugal is absolutely beautiful. You're gonna have such a great time.
Yeah, we got Airbnbs with pools at both those places in the Algarve and the Azores. So the grandparents are cool with staying back with the kids while, you know, they play in the pool and you're not gonna go explore and stuff. So
there's some great medieval towns right around Lisbon as well. I forgot which one we went to. One with started with an O. Oibos, I think is what it was called.
It's like we're going to Sintra. It's supposed to be like
Sintra. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to do a day trip to there from Lisbon.
Oibos, I believe, is right in the same area because we passed by Sintra too. It's nice. Beautiful. You have a great time.
Yeah, I can't wait. So, yeah, that's, weather still is trying to become spring here. It like snows. You'll love this. It like last week it snowed like every morning. There would be snow on the ground, but by like noon it'd be melted away, and it would just kind of. Then it would turn into rain, and then the next morning you wake up and it'd be like covered in snow again. That stopped. Today was a nice 60 degree day. Coop got to play go hang out at the park all day, which is loves doing, but he hates doing it when it's cold out. So yeah, looking forward to spring and summer.
I do not miss that shit at all. Nothing I hated more than March, April snow.
Yeah.
No, you know, like, you know, the snow has always been, I don't know what it was like this winter, but snow was always delayed. You didn't get much in December. You got a little sprinkles here and there in January. Then February would pour it on you all over the fucking place. And then you'd be like, thank God February's over. And March.
And then comes, March.
You get like one or two good days, and then Mother Nature's like, nah, nah, nah.
I'm back, bitches.
Yeah, exactly. I do not miss that shit at all. I mean,
yeah.
I won't go into the details of our weather here, but it's gorgeous. So.
Yeah, we need to hear more about the food. I agree with Daniel on you not talking up the barbecue and the text mess down there. You know, a little food pick every now and then wouldn't hurt. Your gas station barbecue.
Next time we get barbecue, I will send pics. There's a great barbecue place down the street from us that we don't eat it that much because it weighs heavy. I mean, you feel it. All right, next time I'll do it. Tex-Mex, it's great. Like, you know, it's your unhealthy. Sour cream, cheese, all that kind of stuff loaded on.
Love it.
I mean, more than anything, more than the food from the Tex-Mex places, we get like margaritas from there a lot. Like there's a place that's it's a chain called Chewy's down here. Very, well-known Tex-Mex place. We'll get like their gallon margarita, frozen margarita to go on a Friday night. And, you know, drinking that while kids are watching a movie. And that's our Friday night. And
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I'll share some food picks. You know, we don't too many adventurous eating. We don't go to the city that much, but all right, I will share it. And cool. You know, one day I might be getting into smoking my own meat, so we'll see.
Yeah, get it. That takes some time and patience. I've got friends that do it here, and they're like, they take up a whole weekend, and then they have a huge feast on Sunday nights.
Tell me that in med school there were a few people that used to smoke it and then give it to everybody, but it's like, you know, it's like 18, 20 hours.
I don't know,
but they sell this thing called the green egg, and I don't know. I feel like it's a cheater's way to smoke it. So.
What's do you want to talk about some football or anything else you want to touch on?
I don't think I got anything else. Maybe something else will come up later. I got nothing else right now.
Right. Cool. Let's there's some big crazy off season. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the biggest move of the off season, which was Trubisky going to the what do you think was the most
Russell Wilson trade.
Impact, yeah.
Russell Wilson. It makes kind of Seattle wide receivers irrelevant, and now gonna bump up everyone in Denver. I mean, like, is Cortland Sutton gonna be like a Metcalf, or is he gonna be like the Tyler Lockett, or is Judy gonna be like Lockett? You know, like, who's going to be going stretching the field? I know Cortland's got that speed, but he can also run some routes. When I was looking at all the moves so far this year, it looks like Melvin Gordon hasn't re-signed yet. He's still a free agent, so they don't really have a – I guess they have what's-his-name, which would – I mean, if they don't sign Melvin Gordon, the rookie from last year, he could have a huge year.
I mean, he had – you know, what's it? Javonte – I forgot his last name.
Williams? Javonte.
He had the backfield to himself. He had some huge games. So
it was Melvin Gordon was always in his way.
So there's a chance if Melvin Gordon doesn't come back, I assume Denver wants him back because I think they like with the backfield there. But going back to the receivers, like, everyone's trying to make these comparisons, like, who's gonna be Lockett, like, and you could make the comparison, like you said, Sutton's the guy who stretches the field, and so that would be more kind of like the Lockett role. And then Judy,
but Sutton's also big, like Metcalf. Exactly, like, he can do all
exactly. And then Judy could be like Metcalf, but the thing is, they're different. You know, like you said, Sutton stretches the field, but Sutton's also a huge receiver, and, you know, he has been underutilized there because they didn't, you know, have a quarterback to throw him the ball really well. And then Judy, I don't know if there's someone that's exactly comparable that was in Seattle, because Judy is like a precision route runner. He's like a Robert Woods. And, like, you know, he could be a target machine as well. So, like, you know, when they were in their heyday, you had Lockett, who was pretty much like boom or bust. You know, he would get you like 25 points, or he'd get you like 4. And that was his game. Like, he needed a big play, touchdowns.
I think that has to do with Russ, because Russ will kind of go with, you know, not the hot hand, but what the defense kind of give him, maybe kind of that angle. Yeah, like, but if it's working, he's going to keep pounding it and keep going to it, where I feel like this can happen with either of those guys, Judy or Sutton. They can kind of be boom or bust players.
You know, Lockett's also smaller, and I think that quarterback out there that will make Lockett into fantasy as Wilson did. Just maybe like Aaron Rodgers, as far as like throwing the deep ball with accuracy. So I think Lockett, good as a player he is, I think from a fantasy standpoint, I think he's undraftable. Like, I don't think he's worth it at all without Wilson. Metcalf, I think, actually doesn't change a whole lot as far as what he. You know, the game that he plays. He's a big guy. If anything,
I don't think he's gonna be able to find the end zone. He's not gonna be able to score touchdowns.
Right, But if anything, I think he gets more targets than he got, at least over this year. He was under-targeted. Does that translate into necessarily more fantasy points? Not necessarily, because like you said, I don't think you're going to get in the end zone. But I think it's going to be different in Denver. I think you're going to see more of an even split, because I think that I don't think he has to work as hard to get someone the ball like he did for Lockett. I think it'll be easier. I think Sutton's a big frame, big, speedy guy. Won't be hard to get him the ball based on Wilson's accuracy. And Judy's a precision runner, route runner. I think he'll get him the ball. So I don't think you're going to see these other kind of game. I think you're going to see more of an even split. I could be wrong, because maybe Wilson, that's just how he plays, but that's how I see it.
Yeah. Are either of those Judy or Sutton like potential keepers? You know, I'm trying to look it up right now. I'll get some draft results. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting to see. I mean, where, if those guys were, where would you put a price on them? Like, hey, I can keep him for, you know, under.
Sutton is probably a keeper, but I don't think Sutton's on a team right now.
Not at all? Not even rostered? Or was he hurt last year?
I want to. No. I know that because I owned him in another league. So if I remember correctly, I want to say Jarrett drafted him. I want to say.
Yeah, it looks like Jarrett drafted him, and I owned him for a hot minute. I think I played him once, and then I dropped him. You're right. So he is not.
I think he's a free agent. Yeah.
Then what about Judy? I feel like Josh owned Judy.
All right.
I mean, Josh has obviously traded everything to keep all the keepers, so no one can keep him. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think Denver, I mean, that whole AFC West, man, with Devontae Adams going to the Raiders and Mahomes, you know, he lost Tyreek, it's still Mahomes. He has Judy. I don't know if it's keeper price, but he's also got Ja'Marr Chase. So I don't think he'll be taking Judy. So both those guys will not be kept. So where do you think they fall in as far as where they go in the draft?
I want to say they should. I would say the value would be somewhere between the $15 to $20 range, but there's a chance that it goes for more than that because someone wants to blow their load because of, you know, what.
Yeah, I mean, it like depends on when, what tier is about to expire. Yeah. But I feel for both those guys, I mean, I paying attention to my strategy at this point, but like to me, whatever one you can kind of get cheaper, go for it. If you're going to build a team, if you're getting some stock in that Denver passing game, you know, like I said, I think there's going to be weeks where they're going to boom and bust. If you get one cheaper, then I would be happy with landing any of those guys at the right price. But I think one will probably go 25, 30 range. And then if you can get the other one cheaper than that, then I think you get value.
You know, Judy had the more consistent year last year. But if I had to choose between the two, I would go Sutton. I just feel
for sure. He's got. But I wouldn't pay. I wouldn't overpay. I wouldn't go into it saying I want to get Sutton. Sutton goes, someone wants him on his team, spend 35 for him. You know, so Judy gets offered up later, and you get him for under 20, 15. You know, that's a great deal.
I agree. They're not. Nothing's proven. You don't know. You know, it's the same thing. Like. Best example I can have is what happened with LA. Like, obviously Cooper Kupp was a keeper, so like, you know, his value was already determined. But most people would have drafted Robert Woods over Cooper Kupp.
Yeah,
just based on historical performance. And no,
I wouldn't say historical. I think what have you done for me lately? Because Cooper Kupp had a big year his rookie year, and it was kind of those guys were getting drafted even. But then the second year when they were together, Woods had the better season. So it was more like, what have you done for me lately? Because I always thought Cooper Kupp was more of was a better wide receiver, in my opinion.
Woods was more consistent, I think. And, you know, he was consistently in the top 15 every year. Like, so he was there.
Kupp had a higher ceiling. Fair enough.
So all I'm saying is, like, there's uncertainty there. So it's a lot of, if you're blowing your load on one of them, you don't know what you're going to get there at all. There's nothing is guaranteed there. So let's keep
going. You're not drafting any Broncos. Is that what you're telling me?
We'll see.
Yeah, I know. We will see. Hopefully at a lake house in a lake manor. I was awesome. very, very bummed to hear that it was near Madison too.
Give it time.
I know. I obviously, if they're like that serious about putting offers in, they'll eventually get one. But that would have been pretty cool. Would have been a nice spot. But yeah, let's keep it moving. What do you any destinations you want?
Yeah, let's just go through the QBs. There's such a carousel there. I feel like those are the most impactful ones for the most part. So, you want to talk about Hall or just let it be?
Who?
Deshaun.
Who knows? Oh, man. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
There's no way I'm drafting him. I can't root for the guy, so I don't want him on my team. Those are my thoughts.
I agree with you. I think, like you mentioned before, with the Denver situation, you don't know. You also don't know with this. This guy's been away from football for a year. Cleveland is like just notorious for like they just can't become like a legit team. But like him and Amari Cooper and that offensive line and that run game, like he really had. I mean, I guess he did have Hopkins, but like I feel like he's got a pretty nice offense, and there's no reason why he shouldn't succeed. But I mean, I'm not gonna not draft him because of what he does off the field, because probably half these guys do stuff off the field that you probably wouldn't agree with, but
that's definitely fair.
But I mean, his is just obviously more public, and I mean, no charges were filed against him, right? So, but yeah, they're going to be an interesting team. And it was, I remember when I found out he was going there, I was like, how would he want to go to Cleveland? And then just what I mentioned before, like all those points, like they can be a problem. So I'll put aside what he does off the field on it. How do you think he does there in Cleveland?
I think he'll be, you know, from a fantasy perspective, I think he'll probably end up being a top 10 quarterback. Do I think he's going to, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of times when these quarterbacks change teams, they don't quite put up the same high numbers, you know? Like, I feel
so
like
another reason why his numbers were so high is the defense wasn't that good. Am I right or am I wrong there? I think Cleveland's got a pretty decent defense with Garrett.
The Texans defense was terrible. You remember the 24-0?
But there was also – but did they have J.J. Watt? You know, wasn't – they were – their careers coincided.
No, but that J.J. Watt, by the time that Deshaun was there, J.J. Watt was getting injured every year. You're thinking back to the years when the Texans had that defense was when they had Matt Schaub, and then Matt Schaub would get hurt, and they would have T.J. Yates and some other – no names at quarterback, and the reason they were in the playoffs was because of their defense. Once Deshaun was there, their defense was a shell of that. Their defense was a sieve.
So he's got that working against him, because I think that the defense in Cleveland will be a little better than what he had to deal with in Houston. So they're not going to be less fourth quarter, you know, comebacks and stuff like that, which he has complete capability of doing. But he's got these question marks, but that's gonna lower his stock. I think me and you both agree he's gonna be a top 10 pick.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I think so.
Maybe you're getting value. At
the end of the day, I think he is a very talented quarterback. He's able to escape the pocket, make good passes on the run. He's able to run. He's able to make something out of nothing. I think there'll be some growing pains in Cleveland. But the other thing is, is he suspended? And if he's suspended, how long is he suspended for? So a lot of uncertainty. Yeah. That might clear up before the draft, but a lot of uncertainty there. Like I said, I'm not going near it.
All right. Looking at other quarterbacks, you kind of alluded to him before, but Mitch Trubisky to Pittsburgh. I know when it first happened, you were calling him a top 15 quarterback.
I stand by it.
Stand by it.
I do.
I've seen Mitch struggle really badly, especially in the Bears uniform. I feel like he's not going to be able to shake that. I think that's always going to be with him. He's always going to make bonehead plays. And it's hard for me to argue that he won't finish top 15, but I can't have him as my quarterback with making plays like that, missing wide open guys in the end zone when I need 6-4 points from him. And he's not my cup of tea.
I understand everything you're saying. I'm basing strictly off the fact that I think that there is untapped talent there.
No, it has been tapped. He's just gotta.
I don't think so.
Get the open wide receivers. It's not like he's gonna get extremely better than what he was. He played well in his short time in Buffalo. The thing is, he gets exposed and he can't make good quick decisions. And
he had, what was it, his rookie year? Was it the rookie year or the second year where they went to the playoffs?
Didn't he go there twice? Two out of 3 years, maybe? No, maybe not. I think it was the second year. Oh, maybe it was the first year. I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
Maybe it was the first year. But anyway, he showed potential there. And then he didn't get that next step. And I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of it is on coaching. And he's going to probably the best coach in the NFL. Second best coach, fine, whatever. I think
they gotta play Baltimore, they gotta play Cincinnati, they gotta play Cleveland. Those teams,
yeah, that's fine. I have faith. So
I know I only took that stance because I knew where you stood. So I was trying to play devil's advocate. Yeah.
Of course, I get it.
I do enjoy seeing him succeed after, because I know that the Bears fucked him up. And there is still a part of me that, yeah, I can see him being on top 15, but like at that same point, like he's going to make those bonehead plays. And if I'm watching football on a Sunday and he's playing and I'm down by four and he's missing wide open guys in the end zone, that's going to frustrate me.
Yeah.
Only other quarterback that I don't even know if he's name starter, but Marcus Mariota, the Falcons. I'm pretty sure most people don't even know that happened. He's got Kyle Pitts to throw to.
Yeah, the Falcons are a dumpster fire, like a fucking dumpster fire. They have no receivers. I think they did sign a running back. I think they got Damian Williams that was on the Bears last year.
I mean, that's a depth guy.
I know. And well, you know, he was a star in Kansas City. He should probably win the Super
Bowl. Falcons love getting former Bears.
But I think that was more of a system thing than anything else. But I mean, Mariota is he's a gap filler. They're in complete rebuilding mode.
We don't even know who they're drafting. They could be drafting a quarterback too.
I hope for Mariota's sake that, you know, he gets another chance. But we'll see. But don't forget about who used to be there, Matt Ryan, Colts.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
What do you think of that? Good? Bad?
I think it's 2-3 years too late for him, Matt Ryan. I feel like he'll play well with them. You know, they got some, you know, might unleash – you know, Pittman and who else they got there? Who's their other?
T.Y.
is kind of, I think he's kind of on the downhill back now in his career. I mean,
who's the other one? They lost Zach Pascal. There was another one.
They re-signed Mo Alie-Cox. They have another young guy that Paris Campbell. He'll be back.
Paris Campbell. That's the one.
Yeah, but I mean, they also have that run game. Where
you don't see a swan song here for Matt Ryan like Peyton Manning?
I don't know. Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning, you can't compare those two.
Of course, I know that, but I mean, I think this is like as I've heard other people say on the other, you know, this is a good football move. It doesn't do anything for fantasy. Like, I think for the Colts, this is. They're in win now mode, which they should be. They have a
decent. What was the record last year? How many more wins does this give them? Did they have 10 wins last year? They get maybe 11. I can see them just winning 10 again.
I think that Ryan is a huge upgrade over Wentz.
I don't know. I feel like he's, like I said, I feel like not too. Brady's ruins it for everybody because. These quarterback stuff can't keep it up. I mean, like Philip Rivers when he went there. Like, what were your thoughts on that? I feel like he's just Philip Rivers 2.0, an older quarterback that passed the prime.
But that's what they need. They they don't need someone like Carson Wentz who doesn't want to play by the rules, who wants to try to make something out of nothing. They need someone who's a game manager. They have an excellent run game. They have a decent defense. So they're primarily a running team. Run first. That's what they're going to do. So they don't need someone to get in there and sling it and win games. That's not how they want to play. They want to slow the game down.
Yeah, he is definitely probably one of the better game managers. And if they can pound the ball.
And that's what they need. They're not looking for
anything. We took Eberflus from them. Who knows what that, new coaching staff comes in. I mean, I think that they're like a wild card team. I don't see them, as a football move, them, being a contender. I guess that's where I stand on them.
Yep. I don't, yeah. Matt Ryan he'll be drafted, but, I don't know if he's a starter. I don't believe so.
Yeah. He'll get drafted because we're definitely a two quarterback league. And then he could be like white hot, like coming out of the gates, four touchdowns a game, and then gets dinged up, and then he stinks the rest of the year. I could see that for sure, but I don't see him going from start to finish being QB one or two or three. I definitely think he can have some weeks where he's like, man, they got these matchups and they look unstoppable. And if you grab him as your QB two, and you got someone else solid, it's more consistent, than good for you. That sounds like he's going to be on your team with your strategy that was last year with Cousins and shitty quarterbacks you had.
But Derek Carr wasn't bad.
Are we missing any other QB moves?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But I wish Fitzpatrick didn't get hurt last year and he was still a commie.
I mean, Fitzpatrick is—he isn't retired, so.
I don't think he's signed. I think he had a one-year deal, and he hasn't signed anywhere. I don't think he's still on their team.
We'll see what the season.
I could be wrong. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how bad his injury was too. I think a hip injury at his age is not something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on in what. I mean, no one knows what's going on in Washington. It hasn't been a good anything's made sense there for a while, but like. They clearly wanted to upgrade QB, and they were going for every QB out there, and this is the best they could do. So,
it's not good.
I mean, Wentz has potential, but from everything I've read about him, he doesn't get along with people, he doesn't listen, and he tries to make everything a home run play. So, I mean, he got shipped out of Indy very quickly. they were without even knowing who the quarterback was going to be, they got rid of him.
I have a feeling when they took him on, it was like, this is going to work, this is your one shot, and then we're going to move on from you. They didn't have a long commitment with him to start with,
but I forgot what the exact draft picks they gave up, but it wasn't nothing.
Yeah, and they got some stuff back for him, and they were competitive last year. I don't know. So that was QBs.
Only one other QB I wanted to mention, just because of what's been said, is that Winston re-signing in New Orleans, and then Taysom Hill is with the new coaching staff is strictly going to be a tight end. It sounds like.
Wow. Winston. That's the thing. It's like new coaching staff. Winston coming off ACL. They don't really have any weapons. I mean, yeah. I guess Kamara, who knows, what's the deal with Michael Thomas? I mean, is he still going to be on the team?
He's on the team. He should be playing this year. But we don't know what Michael Thomas is without Drew Brees. So.
Right, exactly. That's another thing. It's like, they can chuck it. I don't know. It's something where I don't know if
The only reason I bring it up is because Taysom Hill, from a fantasy perspective, was a very productive QB, and that is no longer going to be an option. So now it's just James Winston.
Right. Only other one, I'm looking at this list here. Teddy Bridgewater might one day be a starting quarterback for the Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
And Andy Dalton might be starting once
for New Orleans?
Jameis. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I was just looking at moves here. What do you think about?
We basically changed with New Orleans for their backup QB because we got right. Sam and they got Dalton. So
right. What running back stood out for you?
Not much, except for like Miami signed both Chase Edmonds and Mostert.
They were really rocking some like undrafted guys, so they shored that up. I think if Mostert stay healthy.
But I don't know what's going on there because like Miles Gaskin 2 years ago seemed to be, you know, on the up and up, and then this season like didn't really squat.
I feel like they're gonna be like a kind of committee.
It's gonna be a committee.
I don't know if they're gonna want to give Mostert too much because
unfortunately Mostert won't make it through the season. I think he's just injury prone. Edmonds, I mean, he's not a bell cow back, so I don't know what's gonna happen.
I think their plan is to kind of have a, you know, three-headed monster, and then have Tyreek and Waddle streaking down the sidelines, and Tua missing them. Actually, they say Tua is pretty accurate, but I don't know. I don't know if this was a joke, but someone quoted Tyreek saying he went from like the Lamborghini to like the 2009 Honda Civic,
yep.
going from Mahomes to Tua.
Yep.
That was 100%. Crazy.
Any other running back moves?
Is there one other one?
Another thing of note, I thought, you know, I don't know how much, I mean, this might play into this a little bit, was Duke Johnson going to Buffalo just because Devin Singletary really came on at the end of the season. Clearly, Zach Moss did not work out there. And if Devin Singletary doesn't get the passing game work, he's not nearly as valuable as he was. And Duke Johnson is he's an interesting player. Like, he's a running back, but like, he's never good between the tackles. He's only valuable by catching passes and getting into open space, and that's where it's been all the time. That's where he got all his points in Cleveland. That's, you know, I thought he would be a way more valuable in Houston when he went there, but he wasn't. And then he was out of the league for a while, and then somehow he ends up on Miami and explodes and turns into, you know, a contract with Buffalo. So,
I'm not too intrigued by that.
Yep.
I feel like Duke he had a couple of good seasons, you know, pass catching, and now he's getting up there in age, getting closer to 30. And I think we've seen the best behind him. While you were rambling on about him, two other running backs that made moves that might have an impact. Ronald Jones to the Chiefs. I know they kind of.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
He never really hit his potential in Tampa, and I don't know if a change of scenery will help him. And then who was the other one? Shoot. I just had it. It wasn't Matt Breida. He's garbage. And that's who Duke Johnson's replacing. Matt Breida went to the Giants, and the Giants have no running game. I don't see him anymore.
Didn't somebody sign with Houston? I forgot. Yeah, but whatever. Doesn't matter. Houston's garbage too.
Yeah, so it wasn't not too much movement in the running back situation. I feel like the running backs, you're also going to get, you know, the random rookies that just get the opportunity and can play and not get hurt.
Yep.
You know, availability is the when it comes to running backs, availability and opportunity. But I think there's a lot of movement wide receiver, so let's jump in.
Yeah. I mean, since we're already talking about the Dolphins, we can talk about Tyreek Hill. Like, you know, I understand Hill wanting to get paid, but there's no way that his numbers are anywhere close to what they were with Patrick Mahomes.
They can't. Like, there's no way. It's not possible.
I'm looking at pre-draft rankings, they still have him in the top 10. He's not going to finish in the top 10 receiver. Like, you know, they're talking about, oh, you know, you just get on the ball in space and he'll make stuff happen. Not in Miami. No way.
Yeah. And so, like, just looking at his stats, he had a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 of the game, 8 of the 17 games were under 10 points. And the reason why he was so ranked so high is he had some of those like 47 point games, 29 point games, like 38 point games. Like, that's not going to happen.
That's never going to happen in Miami.
His floor is going to stay that low where he's going to have 10 games where he's not putting up numbers. And then his big game is only going to be like 20, 25 maybe. So, yeah, I'd stay away from him. What are your thoughts on Waddle then with just Tyreek kind of getting that coverage?
I don't know, because, you know, everything about Waddle is that he's a speedster too. But, you know, this past season he was like the, you know, filled the Jarvis Landry role of getting like 15 catches for like 40 yards a game kind of thing. So now, like, it depends how they decide to utilize it. Like, are they going to keep him in that role? Or are they going to have two really fast guys on the outside and try to burn them and try to make Tua hit them? I don't know. Like, I think that Waddle is I would draft Waddle over Hill based on prior performance.
You're using one small sample size. I mean,
of course, but
Tyreek's got a little more experience. So I think it's going to be, let's say, week one, Tyreek shocks us all, has a monster game. Then their next opponent, they're going to game plan, and then Waddle's going to go off. And then the next opponent's going to say, okay, we can't give this to Waddle. And they're both going to get shut off. And then, you know, it's like, I don't think either of them are going to be guys that you can pencil in for, you know, 20 points. They're going to be a lot of ups and downs.
I don't see Tyreek ever having a big game. I just don't.
That's not true. That's not true, because all he needs is one play.
Yeah.
He gets double digit targets. I mean, he's a guy that's going to command all his targets just because he can get open so easily because he's so fast. So he's going to get targets and but he's not going to have those 80 yard touchdowns because
Tua can't throw the ball as far as. Touchdowns. He'll get his targets, but like, I don't know. I'm not saying that he's a complete product of what was in Kansas City, but you're going from the best quarterback in the league and the best offensive scheming in the league to a dumpster fire. And we've seen there are plenty of people in the NFL who have excellent speed who, without the right scheme, fail. The best example I can give you is Mike Wallace going from Pittsburgh to Miami. Mike Wallace in Pittsburgh putting up hella numbers with Ben Roethlisberger. He went to Miami and he was an afterthought. So
yeah. I can't argue that. And I did say that he won't score 80 yard touchdowns. That's not true. He's not gonna get those, like, when Mahomes is clicking, it's like the Chiefs Bills game where it was like just throwing bombs on the field and you know you're gonna get like 70 yards a catch. Like, just that's not gonna happen. But he will get, you know, screen bubble screens where he takes it to the house. He'll get those. It's just not going to be in the volume it was in Kansas.
Exactly. Is he going to get those? Yeah. He'll get a handful. But those will be the only games where he's got a massive, huge impact. So.
Right. So that, and another team in Florida, Jacksonville, kind of went around and signed a bunch of garbage wide receivers.
Yeah. They put a lot of money on some unproven people.
Yeah. And with a quarterback that had high hopes, and so they added Zay Jones, which he hasn't really done much in Vegas. Christian Kirk, who kind of was starting to become a star, but there's just too many miles to feed there. That's why they didn't keep him. Who else? And then another guy. They got Evan Ingram from the Giants. So they got a bunch of weapons. What do you think of how does that impact Trevor Lawrence in his second year?
Start with this caveat, like, clearly the coaching there was a fucking shit show as well. So,
sure.
I feel like you can kind of just throw that, maybe you can potentially throw that year out with some actual coaching, an NFL coach. I think Trevor Lawrence has the opportunity to really show us what he's got. That being said, I expect the number one overall pick to be able to still have some raw talent to come through in your rookie season. And I saw none of that.
It
wasn't thrown to nobody, you know. Marvin Jones, you know, was a stud with Stafford in Detroit. So Marvin Jones was not, and he's still there, actually. I don't know what their plans are going to be for him. But and I don't think that Christian Kirk or Zay Jones moved the needle much more.
Right.
Christian Kirk, it's not. I think Marvin Jones.
They spent a lot of money on him, too.
I know. I don't understand.
And I feel like they're setting him up to be like, look, we got you all these guys, you know, all this talent, yeah. And not succeeding. Like, they're giving them a narrative where they can kind of cut ties on this and not, you know, extend them and just move on from them. Because I don't see them taking a step forward with what the, because all that money they're putting, I mean, I know they're going to get a top pick because they were one of the worst teams last year. But I don't know. I was befuddled by that. They're
yep.
Free agency. Yep. How about Juju in Kansas City?
I don't know what to make of it. You know, I'll start off by saying this, like, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is throwing nobody compared to what he's been thrown to in the past.
Kelsey, 15 targets a game.
Yeah, that's it. You know, yeah. I mean, they lost Hill. I think they lost DeMarcus Robinson too.
Don't forget Pringle.
They lost Pringle. We got him, right?
I know. Yeah. I think that's garbage.
What the hell? Why are we taking receivers from that are no names outside of who they're throwing? But anyway. So who's left? Oh, Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, I think that
could be an interesting, you know.
Right.
That could also be why they maybe let Bill walk. You know, at the end of the day, like
Hardman is always was like, oh, speedster, like he's kind of like just like Hill, but like he had opportunity, he never really cashed in. So yeah. I'm not a big believer in him. I think he can, especially now he's gonna get more volume, but I can't see him filling in his shoes. You know, now you got Smith-Schuster, who I think is kind of a fraud because you know he had that great rookie year. And you know, has kind of trended down since. And
his second year was pretty decent too, and then he fell off a cliff. But you know, also opposite Antonio Brown, so that
right. And worst made helped. It just yeah.
But the thing that he has got going is he's still young as fuck. He's like 23 or 24, and yeah. You know, he's going to an offensive genius. Like, who might be able to tap into that talent? It's there, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe. They also signed, I think, didn't they sign MVS too?
Yeah. Another speedster. So, yeah, they did replace some of the
things they lost. But MVS could not do crap with Rodgers, so I'm not sold on him yet. So. Right. And I think the biggest takeaway from the Chiefs offseason is that I feel like Patrick Mahomes is not – he's still an excellent quarterback. He's still – I mean, he's a keeper in the league, so it won't matter. But I don't think he's going to be putting up the numbers he quite did before. He just doesn't have the talent around him to throw to.
And there's our boy Allen Robinson taking Woods' spot.
Yeah. That was kind of shocking to me. I felt like Woods was like, you know, one of like the OGs from the resurging Rams, but no, now basically I always think back to like the Super Bowl team from that lost to the Patriots, which wasn't that long ago, and there's like no key offensive players left except for Kupp. That's it, which is crazy. But
wow.
I think Allen Robinson is he gonna put up numbers that are you know that he did like 2-3 years ago in the you know putting him as a top 10 draft pick? No, but I think he's a top 20 though.
I mean, this is like the best situation for him because he's going to have the best wide receiver in all of football against him, where like he was on a team where he was the number one guy and he can't create separation. Now teams are going to be like, you know, shitting over to Cup, and he's going to have, you know, a lot more opportunity to catch balls because he can catch it. He just couldn't separate from people. So, and I think with McVay and Stafford, I think this is not only a great place for him to be in LA, California, you know, with a good quarterback, but yeah, like just like Mitch, I'll be happy for him when he does well.
Yeah. What about Devontae?
Yeah, to Oakland. I mean, major drop for him, right?
I couldn't believe it. This was the move that shocked me probably the most out of anything that happened this offseason.
Yeah, like when this move went down, that was when like the NFL offseason was like, what is going on?
Yeah, sure. I was just like, I couldn't believe it because I thought that like with Rodgers coming back, he would for sure stay. And because I mean, let's be real, like they have a legit team. They have a shot to get to the Super Bowl if, you know, they can get their shit together.
And like Rodgers like came back, like re-signed up, and it was like it sounded like he knew that he wanted out. So like, why would Rodgers sign on?
Rodgers getting paid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's something that was put in the same category as Hill. You know, we're like, yeah, you're gonna get paid. I get it. You want to get paid top dollar for your talents. You ain't gonna win a Super Bowl in Vegas. That team is not a Super Bowl team. The Packers are a legit Super Bowl contender. Las Vegas is not. Las Vegas is not going to be one right now.
He also got paid. Is much happier living in Vegas than he's in Green Bay. And I don't blame him.
I guess, but it just makes me question. I thought that athletes want to win it all. I thought that was one of the driving forces, is to win a championship. But maybe it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. He also wants
to play. I just put yourself in their shoes. Like, I don't know. He's probably, you know, some of these guys probably think that they can go win wherever. You know, they're like, I'm so good, I can, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he got paid and he's living in Vegas now versus Green Bay.
Yeah, and then I guess I also heard a report that, like, you know, Derek Carr is his college quarterback. And
oh, yeah, that too, for sure.
They're, like, been good friends ever since, so.
Yeah.
Fine. But you're not
supposed to. I mean, it makes sense, right?
It does, but, like, you're not going to. You went from getting, like, 15 targets a game, you know, guaranteed at least 10 touchdowns a year. That's not going to happen in Las Vegas. It's just not. I just don't see it.
Okay, so all that work that he put in and got earned him all this money.
Fair enough.
So at this point,
I guess that's where I don't always, you know, see that aspect where it's like, you know, as someone who focuses mainly on the stats and the notoriety in the fantasy football world and stuff like that.
Not the 140 million.
The money doesn't play into what I'm paying attention to at all. So I see a lot of players who have a great 1 or 2 years, then go to an obscure team for money and then fall off the face of the earth. But yeah, they get their money. I get it. So I don't know. I get it. Football's a dangerous sport. It's you never know when your time, you know, you might get a career-ending injury. But, you know, you stay there, you stay somewhere, you keep putting up numbers, keep getting paid. I don't know. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to talk tight ends? I don't think we even need to talk about tight ends.
Oh, what about Woods in Tennessee?
Oh yeah, we did talk about. I mean, I feel like he's gonna be in the Julio Jones role, and
not play ever.
No, but at least get those targets when he does play. Oh my gosh. Hello? Do you hear that?
What? Hear what?
No, I was looking for something, and it started playing audio in my headphones. And I didn't know if you heard it.
Oh no.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he recovers from his injury, then I think he'll fit in nicely across from AJ Brown.
Yeah. The problem is that it's just not a passing team. So it's just
They definitely run the ball, but they do throw the ball downfield. They like to run the ball, but they use that to throw the ball downfield, and you know, he might not get a lot of catches, but he could put up some yardage and you know, score some touchdowns. I don't know.
Yeah. And then the only other one I had was Amari Cooper in Cleveland.
Yeah, I touched on it. I think he's a good fit with him, and he'll be like the Hopkins, getting a lot of targets, and he's showing flashes of being a stud wide receiver. He's never really been consistent. He's kind of disappeared in some games throughout his whole career.
Yeah, It's very interesting to me for someone who, you know, supposedly is this great, you know, talent.
It's crazy how young he is, too. He's still young.
Exactly. He's very young. He's on his third team already. Like Brandon Cooks, you know?
He's been in the league for 7 years. He's still in 27.
Yep. Yeah, he got drafted really young.
Yeah, I heard some crazy stat of him and someone else from Alabama, maybe Jerry Jeudy, were like the same age, but they never played with each other in Alabama. Something crazy like that.
Wait, what?
Look that up. No, that movie wasn't Jerry Jeudy. What other stuff? What other stud wide receiver came out of Alabama?
That I do not know.
What's up?
Julio.
Oh, Julio. Yeah, but that, no, it wasn't Julio. It was someone younger than him. Man, now I'm gonna have to look it up.
All right, you look it up, and I'll look at my list. If anyone else. Oh, what do you think of the Russell Gage signing in Tampa Bay?
It's suspect because Tom was probably behind it, especially because he was the one that, like, at least that's what the people are reporting, that Tom, like, called and recruited him.
Yeah.
But I feel like that could just be the media. I don't know. I'm not getting excited about it. I mean, there's too many balls to feed. They did lose. Didn't they lose OJ Howard there? But he wasn't really, I mean, if Gronk doesn't come back, then yeah, they have no tight end.
They do. They have Cameron Brate still.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Sure. You know, Russell Gage was like the only wide receiver they had in Atlanta last year. And he actually put up decent numbers from time to time. He was on my fantasy team. But like,
who was?
Russell Gage.
Oh. Yeah, you. So, no, wasn't there another guy that you, like, from, you made a big statement about on Atlanta? It wasn't Russell Gage. Who was the other guy? I don't know.
Atlanta?
Yeah. It was you weren't buying it. Some guy was like, I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on this Atlanta thing.
Alabama thing?
Yeah. Yeah, talk so I can look this up. Say something.
Devontae Parker to New England.
Oh yeah, another guy.
Nothing.
Couldn't really get any separation. It was Calvin Ridley, maybe.
There's no way if he's been in the league for 7 years.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley, 27 years old. So him and Calvin Ridley were both at Alabama. both went to Alabama, but they're both 27 and they never played together.
Wow.
I don't remember where I heard that, but I remember like hearing it, like, that doesn't make any sense. They're both 27. He's been in the league 4 years and Cooper 7.
That's crazy.
Your fun fact. All right. I think my brain's fried after that.
Nah, I got nothing else.
Nice. Well, hopefully this episode makes a worldwide appearance. Maybe Mito can take a listen in Costa Rica and put a international listen on our record.
There we go. That's how we go viral.
How we go viral. We're losing listeners. 8, 7, especially in the off season. Did I see Turbo listen to this? Maybe Daniel.
Costa, maybe. Listen.
Daniel will listen. Costa, maybe. I feel like it's going to be a lot of people like, oh, yeah, I was going to listen to it, but I haven't yet.
Yeah, people are going to work, commuting to work again, so I might find it.
Who wants to listen about football in April?
People want to find Turbin. Something to listen to.
Yeah.
There you go.
And he's gonna be like, oh, I can't believe you left out this player. We're talking about player moves.
Well, good. Let's get some feedback. Want some feedback?
What's going on with our league? Any new rule changes?
No, I don't bring that up till we get closer. Like I told you before, it's either right after the season or at the very beginning of the season. You ain't gonna engage anyone in between.
Yeah, so let's do a podcast in April, getting people engaged.
Yeah, this is just fun shit, you know?
Yeah, I know. I enjoy catching up with you.
Fun as always, my man.
What's the fastest you've taken the Tesla lately?
I think I got up to 120 weeks ago for the Shits and Giggles.
Nice. We all crammed into Medi's after Mito's birthday dinner.
Yeah.
I don't think we got up to 120, but we went pretty quick, pretty fast.
I talked to Mito and he could barely remember it, so.
Yeah. Oh, ask Jeff if he remembers it that night. That was a fun night, though.
It looked like fun. Makes me, yeah. One thing about sad about being down here in the South and missing out on things like that.
Yeah. Sounds like you might have a visitor, though.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
I think I might try to make a trip down with the kids. Maybe next fall when the weather starts turning here, when the weather's still good there.
Welcome anytime.
All right, we'll be there next week.
I just need a month heads up.
So notice. I'm
trying to change my schedule. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's probably more wishful thinking, but I definitely want to make it down there at some point. And you're coming up in July.
Yes.
That's your next time you'll be in Chicago?
Yes.
Some country music?
Yes. I have to look into all those plans. Because we finally got our schedules arranged so I can actually like look into buying shit for all.
All right. Past my bedtime.
Me too. All right.
Bye.
You're not going to
sing us out some
insane. You may hate me, but it ain't no lie. Bye, bye, bye.
All right. That's it.